podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
On the expected points, he actually comes out third. Any guesses? It's a player we haven't mentioned.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name's Serge.
And my name is James.
And it's Friday. It's a bit of a mix around to the schedule because of the Friday night deadline. Today is a people's poll. And if you haven't made your transfer and you are looking for a cheap midfielder, then maybe this is the show for you. James, you want to tell everybody the options you gave them in the poll? Why? And what was the standout winner?
Why?
Yeah, as in you chose brackets for a specific reason.
I did. I chose three different values for people to choose from in terms of their favourites. So there was 4.9 to 5.4 defenders, 5.4 to 5.9 midfielders, and 5.9 to 6.9 forwards. The reason for doing the kind of odd numbers rather than just 6 to 7 million is to kind of also highlight some players who have perhaps dropped in value that might be of interest to people. Not necessarily those who have just gone over in value or stayed at the same price. The winner is what I thought would win, and just because it's most topical for those particularly on wildcard at the moment. So, freemium, have you heard this term, Serge?
Yep.
Freemium, yeah, coined by who got the assist. That's the going Lukaku, Salah and Ronaldo route. Means
I thought you said freemium there.
Yeah, freemium.
Freemium.
Freemium. What's the difference between freemium and freemium?
It's just how you said. I thought you said free, as in F-R-E-E, freemium.
No, free, like the number.
Threemium.
I really can't help where I was born, sir. It's just one of them things, unfortunately. Yeah, yeah.
And plus, that's why you've ended up with the club that put you through pain.
I think, with respect to my mum and dad, hi, if you're listening, I think you had a better upbringing than me.
I was like, freemium is like, you know, you get these software services where you can do a certain amount for free. And then if you pay extra, you get more. A bit like us, really. If you pay more, you get some extra pods. Plug Patreon. But that's what a freemium model is, where you give some shit for free and then charge for the rest. And I was like, why is James going on about freemium in the midfielders? Anyway, three premiums being Salah, Ronaldo, Lukaku is quite in vogue at the moment. And that does suck up, because most of these people that I've seen with three premiums also have Trent Shaw in there as well, and you can't discount them. They are pretty much premium defenders. Shaw maybe less so, but Trent,
I wouldn't quite put Shaw in that bracket,
but Trent definitely I think is. Then you are saving pennies elsewhere, and surprisingly this bracket is actually quite lively. There's a number of players in there that I think will do well this year.
I think this bracket is always quite lively at the start of the season, and then it tends to die a death, because listen, four game weeks is small data. Nobody should take any of the stuff we're going to go through as conclusive in terms of, oh, this will definitely continue. It's a small sample size. We could look at a sample size of game week 32 to game week 36 later in the season, and we might find that suddenly Stuart Dallas is back on everybody's radar. He's a player that falls into this bracket. Obviously scored extremely highly last year, admittedly as a defender. He's barely going to get a mention on this podcast because there are others performing better. I think in terms of squad makeup and balance, you need probably one of these players for most people. For many people going with the free premiums, you may even need two. I don't like it.
As a playing player as well, let's be clear.
Yeah.
Because for me, for example, I'm sitting with Bissouma as my fifth midfielder, who's 4.6 now. I don't count him as one of my needs. He's just there as a sub.
He's a substitute, isn't he?
Yeah, from my four playing midfielders, my current setup means I only need one in this bracket. And actually, right now I have none, but eventually I will want one.
For those going Trent, Lukaku, Salah, Ronaldo, you're not going to be having a 5.5 million midfielder sitting on your bench. You're too busy scraping for the money. You've got Livramento and Williams at the back and a Bissouma. That's or a 4.5 forward or similar to this. That's going to be where you're at. Do you own currently anyone in this price bracket?
No, I probably will by the end of this weekend.
Mean like by the end of today, or
no, but not before the deadline. Okay. I mean, post deadline, depending on price increases and price falls, there's every chance that I could and will own one.
Do you want to, before we do numbers, give away who that might be?
Conor Gallagher.
Okay, fine.
For Harvey Barnes, should Harvey Barnes drop in price? I noticed they didn't give me any points for his assist yesterday, bastard. So the thing is, Harvey Barnes...
he scored as well, Sir Jude, fairness.
I didn't see you scored there. Second
he scored and assisted, yeah.
I was too busy celebrating. If he does well this weekend against Brighton, then there's every chance he might get interest again and suddenly it's all back to normal. Golden assist in the Europa League and Premier League returns. And we all remember, oh, that's why we thought he's a good player for 7 million. So he could go, or Diogo Jota, if I feel like Firmino's back and ready and Jota ends up being a bench player. One of those two has to go to give me some money to play with elsewhere.
Okay, let's look at some of the numbers. It's not something we do too often, but when we're looking at kind of a real specific range like this, I think it's quite important. So in terms of standout performers at this value so far, there are four players obviously over 20 FPL points. Those are Damari Gray, mm-hmm. Conor Gallagher, both have 26 points so far. Abdullah Decore is now up to 25. And Josh Townsend, 21. We've got three Everton players there.
Yep.
What's your first thought on those three?
Decore I always liked. I thought Gray and Townsend Everton bought in because they were just being cheap bastards and had no money to buy players. But actually, they've all performed well. Decore, I don't think it has the ability to be as explosive as potentially other players and will just tick along. I mean, two assists in one game is not going to happen often at all. And he scored one goal in four. So Decore is not for me. Townsend also, I don't particularly gravitate towards. I think Damari Gray would be the one that I would go towards. Although I think Townsend shouldn't be overlooked at 5.4.
I would overlook Townsend. Personally, his goal the other night was his first in 36 Premier League appearances. And it is an absolute worldie, and it could have been two because he had another brilliant effort later in the game as well. He also had a very good effort at Brighton in game week three as well, which was well saved by Robert Sanchez. But that's too long. It suggests to me, yeah, do you know what? He might have a couple of good game weeks in a row, and then that will be it, and it will revert to type. I think the debate really is between Gray and Decore. Now, Decore, interestingly, is one goal, Suj, but it's three assists as well, right? Mm-hmm. Just it's an attacking return per game so far.
He always, when he plays returns, high up, which he is able to do in Everton because of Allen being there. Like Watford necessarily didn't always have a good holding midfielder in behind him that gives him license and freedom. I mean, Decore, we know he's a good player. So when he's got the license to break forward, I do think maybe those assists might continue, but not two in a game. But, you know, and he's got good creative players to feed as well and attacking players to feed.
Looking back to last season's data, which obviously gives us a bigger pool, we obviously can't look at Damari Gray, wasn't here. And I don't think there's any point looking at Andros Townsend, who was largely a rotational option at Crystal Palace. Decore we can look at, though. Two goals, two assists. He's already matched his attacking returns. So what's changed? Well, one, obviously the manager, Rafa Benitez. I think what you mentioned in terms of where he's going to play is really key. A lot of us remember that kind of period where he was playing off mainly Deeney for Watford when Nigel Pearson was in charge, playing the 10 position and getting into the box at every opportunity. And we saw that in the last half hour where Everton changed system the other night. My concern would be, I think when Everton have everyone available, and it's worth saying Calvert-Lewin is... Benitez confirmed again yesterday, 2 to 3 weeks. He's definitely out for the weekend. Get rid if you've got. I think, though, when everyone's fit, I think Decore and Allen are a midfield two with three attacking players off Calvert-Lewin. So be that Richarlison, Damari Gray on one other. I don't think that's Decore at 10. Perhaps in some of the tougher games, they might go Gomez and Allen with Decore in front of that. What they do at the moment is, Allen and Decore, is they want to go and press the second balls, which means that even from a pivot position, he's the one that's allowed to go. And obviously he knows that Alan will sit there, generally speaking. So it's a good kind of pairing, actually. And I think in the short term, there could be rewards in Decoro if he's going to play the 10 position. My instinct for the game tomorrow at Aston Villa, though, is they might stay with three at the back because there's a chance, obviously, Ings and Watkins will play up front. So I think, although the game changed for them really once they went to a back four against Burnley, that's where I think the back three came from in the first place. The fact he knew Burnley would play a front two. So he might start that way again. If that's the case, Decore is going to struggle to get forward. That said, the following week is Norwich. They'll most definitely play a back four, and there's every chance Decore would play as a 10. And that's very interesting. Damari Gray is someone who I've heard him compared to Jesse Lingard a lot this week, because it's one of them. It just looks unsustainable, right? Three shots on target. It's eight shots overall. He's only had the one big chance, four shots in the box. It just, the data suggests that it's not sustainable. However, what's interesting is actually when you compare him to Decore specifically, on Fantasy Football Hub's expected points metric, Gray comes out better than Decore. The only one where Decore comes out better than Gray, shots in the box, it's five for Decore versus four for Gray. Otherwise, Gray's very much the match for Decore, and I think it's very close between the two. Expected goals, for example, 0.89 for Gray. And if that's unsustainable, then you would say Decore 0.7 is as well. Although Decore is obviously higher, having had three assists, he's expected assists higher. If I had to pin you now, Gray or Decore, where do you go?
I would go to Decore, and that's more because I'm a slow and steady plodder as a manager, as opposed to look for the short-term explosive, and if it causes me a problem, move on when things are not working. I feel like if Decore's in there, he can sit and he'll tick along nicely over a long period. Gray's more explosive. And so for my style of management, I probably would go Decore because I can just leave him there and let him plod along.
Okay. Now, when you compare Conor Gallagher to these other players, he comes out very strong. Gallagher's top for shots. In fact, let's just rule out Townsend at the moment. Let's just compare him immediately to Decore and Gray. Gallagher comes out highest for shots. Gallagher joint most with Decore for shots on target. Gallagher's highest for shots on in the box. Gallagher's way out in front for big chances, five versus one and zero. For XG, he's miles ahead. He's obviously one behind Gray in the goals scored column, but he's got two assists. So he's matching Decore's four attacking returns. Remember, Gallagher's only played three games as well. Expected assists, Gallagher's way out in front. Big chances created, he's ahead of the other two. Expected FPL points, he's ahead. And obviously, in terms of overall FPL points, he's level with Gray and Decore. And as I said, he's played a game less.
So the interesting thing with Conor Gallagher, that none of the stats will also tell you, but the eye test will, is the reason his XG is so high is a couple of the goals he scored or chances he's had have been pretty much in the 6-yard box. Which means he's getting into far more advanced positions potentially than Gray and Decore are. He's really getting right in the face of the goalkeepers. And none of those stats will tell you that, unlike Gray and Decore, he's taking all the set pieces as well. So he has that in his locker, which translates into assists and potential assists and so on. But it's massive. I mean, that in itself almost makes it feel like it's a foregone conclusion. That Conor Gallagher is the best of the lot. I mean, he is for me, because I'm going to buy him after this Liverpool fixture, so I don't even have to worry about buying him before a difficult game. But he is for me at 5.6. Great value.
Do you just want to end the podcast there then and say you're going Conor Gallagher?
Well, no. And the reason is because we've talked about people on the freemium threemiums might want two of these bastards, so they're going to have to pick another. So let's give them alternatives that are not toffees.
Decore's out in front in terms of bonus points as well, just to add on. Decore's four bonus points. That's the most of any midfielder ranked in this price range. And Decore also comes out top on BPS as well. 92 versus Gray's 87, Gallagher's 77. I think what that tells us is when Decore gets attacking returns, he's probably going to be in the bonus as well. as a midfield player who's going to have a lot of completed passes, etc. as well, where Gallagher will as well, but I think his sole purpose is to get in the box. The Corre is, depending on where he plays, he's going to have a big role in the build-up as well, I think.
If you look at Gallagher, he picked up max bonus points against West Ham because he scored two goals. In the game against you guys, obviously he picked up two assists, but no bonus points, which is rare. But then you've got Zaha with a goal and an assist and Odson Edouard with two goals. So they've outscored him there and Palace kept a clean sheet. So the defenders and goalkeepers, obviously, that really boosts up their BPS as well. So a game where he's picked up two assists and got no BPS is going to be rare, I think, for Conor Gallagher. I mean, if you take the same Decore against Burnley, he picked up two assists, no clean sheet, and he got two bonus points. So same, he got scored less points, but got more BPS off the same output because the other guys just happened to outshine him in that game.
Again, we have to highlight here that Gallagher's played a game less.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll talk about fixtures a little bit as well, because I know there'll be a few people thinking, oh, hang on a minute, Palace got rough fixtures. Don't worry, we'll talk about fixtures as well. So I think that's why those four, and because it's fresh in the mind, right? Townsend, Decore and Gray all got attacking returns in the last Premier League game that anyone's seen. Gray, in Gallagher's case, a lot of people will have seen the game as it was 12:30 on BT Sport on Saturday, or at least the standalone kickoff wherever you are in the world. There were only other two other players between 5.5 and 5.9 million in midfield who have got more than 12 points. Do you know who they are, Suj?
We talked about this because we did a quiz for our Patreons. Shameless plug.
One... You ain't going to get it right.
I was going to say Kovacic, but he's even cheaper.
Kovacic is 5.1, so he's not in this discussion.
He's not in the bracket. Then,
thanks for ruining one of the quiz answers for the patrons who haven't done it yet. Cheers, mate.
Well, they should have done it last night. What do you pay for? No, I don't know.
You won't get there. Right, Sergio Canos of Brentford, mm-hmm. 18. Remember, obviously, scored against Arsenal opening night, right? Yep. There's been nothing since. In fact, he's only had two shots on target this season. McAllister, he's on 17. He's got a goal and assist. He's only had one shot on target so far this season. So that's why those two are not getting spoken about at all.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to keep going on about Conor Gallagher only having played three games, McAllister came on as a sub in two of them and played only three of them. He's only played two games worth of football so far.
He's a player to watch, but we discussed him with Sam Murray, FPL Seagull, and yesterday's Clash of the Correspondents. We kind of looked at it and went, look, it's too much of a gamble at the moment, isn't it, to fit it in? Agreed, yes. So let's have a look at some other metrics to see who it kind of throws up and names between this 5.4, 5.9 range. There is someone who in this range who's matching Conor Gallagher for shots, and that's Wolverhampton Wanderers' Trincão. Mm-hmm. 10 shots, and Trincão also heads the list for players with shots on target as well, with 7. Next most being a cluster of players on 4. Now, with Wolves' fixtures as well, that really should bring him into the conversation. It's worth remembering we're not going to compare him with Adama Traore at the moment because Traore's 6 million. So we're just looking at Trincão specifically here. That data suggests he's potentially about to go off. Trincão is 1.45 for XG. That's closest to Gallagher. Remember, obviously, he hasn't scored. So it suggests that it might be coming for Trincão, particularly with these fixtures.
I agree. The only thing with Trincão, two things. He's not completed a 90 yet. He keeps getting subbed. And the last two games has been in and around 60-odd minutes. And Daniel Podence is... fit now, isn't he? So,
and obviously Huang's come in as well, who Bruno Lage said after the game last week, look, he said it before, can definitely play in wide positions as well.
Yeah, that uncertainty around Trincão and his future minutes is not a risk I would want to take at this value, but I agree with you, like, he is going to go off. I do still think he'll be first choice in the starting 11, but I don't need the headache that comes with that.
One real wild card option to mention, the only other player with an XG of more than 1 so far this season, and I'm sure you can look into the minutes of this player, Serge, because I haven't got it in front of me, is Mohamed Elianoussi of Southampton.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's had 5 shots, 4 shots on target, 5 shots in the box, 2 big chances. That's one more than Trinkau. He's obviously scored. He's only got 11 points, which is actually underperforming Fantasy Football Hub's metric of expected FPL points. And we spoke last week on Monday's podcast about the Southampton West Ham fixture and saying, look, he's basically playing as a second forward. We don't know if that's going to stick at the moment because it's only one game's worth of information. And I know Matt Samuel, our Southampton correspondent, Clean Sheet Wipeout, messaged me after the podcast and said he thought a few of the players may have been left out, like Che Adams, because of their international involvement and stuff. So it really would be a gamble. But actually, in the data, he's showing up a bit here, Elianusi. How many minutes has he played, Suj?
He's played 90 twice in the last 2 games. He didn't start or get a single minute in the first 2 games.
So, I mean, that's very good from 2 games. Newcastle away match week 3, which, to be fair, anyone's going to have a decent XG after that fixture at the moment. But then West Ham United at home as well. In terms of big chances, Gallagher stands so far out in front. He's on 5. There are only 3 other players who've had more than 1. Elianusi, McAllister, and Brian Mbeumo of Brentford, who I know has been a bit of a scourge for Mark Southerns on Black Box so far this season. But Mark and many others who've been on Mbeumo, if that's how you pronounce his name, because no one knows anymore, have been very, very unlucky because he's had 9 shots. That's only 1 less than Trinkau and Gallagher. Key number, 1 shot on target. That's despite having 6 shots in the box. Suggests a waywardness in his finishing, unfortunately. But the fact that he's only got 9 FPL points so far this season is absolutely laughable. And of course, he's OOP. He's playing up front. 1 point on Brentford. Again, we'll talk about fixtures a little bit. That really stiffens up for Brentford, basically from now. So I think you'd more be looking to move him on than actually buy him at the moment. There's no other players other than the ones we've mentioned who've got more than 1 assist. In terms of expected points, I've mentioned Hub's matrix a few times. There's another name I'd like to throw into the conversation, which is quite interesting because on the expected points, he actually comes out 3rd. Any guesses? It's a player we haven't mentioned.
Expected.
He's had 7 shots so far this season, 4 shots on target, only one inside the box, 2 big chances created.
Give me a team that he plays for.
Burnley.
McNeil?
It is Dwight McNeil. Yeah.
He's dropped to 5.9, has he?
I think so, yeah. I don't have the price in front of me, but I'm pretty sure he was 6 at the start. Yeah, so he'll have to be
5.9 from 4 games so far.
So he now falls into this category, and you have to remember, the players like McNeil and Gallagher, they're going to converge, or they, you know, if the returns don't move soon, Gallagher's going to be a bigger price than McNeil, right? So suddenly, if you're going into this range, these players have to become attractive to you, I think, all of a sudden. What do you think about McNeil, Suj?
Nope.
And why?
Burnley. Just Burnley. I don't fancy Burnley, to be honest with you.
Burnley's next 4 home games, which takes us up to game week 12, are Arsenal, Norwich, Brentford and Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm.
Decent.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't think they're too bad.
You're boring us far.
No, I'll be honest. I mean, I was looking around that if I got Conor Gallagher, what would I do with the extra money from selling Mount, Barnes or Jota? I've got Ivan Toney sitting there. And Chris Wood at 6.9, I think is a great price for Chris Wood. He's a decent player. He scored goals consistently. And I just was like, Burnley, meh. So I just feel, despite all of the fixtures, what are they going to score in a lot of games? 1 or 2 goals? I don't fancy that, unfortunately.
I'll tell you what you can say about him now. He'll play every week, won't he?
Yeah, that's true. Like, if you're looking for consistency.
It's nearly a certainty. Although a lot of these players will.
Yeah. Yeah.
A few other metrics to see who comes out of top. And final 3rd passes, not really a metric you should be looking at for attacking returns, but kind of does give us an idea of who's getting high up the pitch, how many passes they complete in the final third. Ruben Neves comes out top. And okay, a closer inspection, because it's kind of someone who wasn't in the thinking at the start, he's actually only had one shot less than Trincão. Interestingly, he's obviously his club teammate. Ruben Neves has had 9, 2 of them off target, though. We know with Neves, quite often shots will be from distance. Another one that's very much underperforming the XG at the moment. Total crosses. Don't ruin the quiz, Suj. But a name that you won't have heard mentioned, I don't think, it on a single podcast that you may have listened to this week, is Norwich City's Milo Rashica.
From you just players ruined in the quiz.
I've ruined the quiz. For players in this value, he's had the most crosses with 29. Now, only 5 of them have been successful. But we also have to remember that's particular. But the number's quite interesting. Remember, 1, he didn't start against Arsenal. Okay. 2, the 3 fixtures before that are Leicester, Manchester City and Liverpool.
Yeah, true. Difficult.
Might suddenly be one to watch. A Norwich's good fixture run starts now. But it's only the crossing data that shows up really of interest to Rashica. Him and Dwight McNeil are the only ones on more than 21. There were other players like Ashley Westwood. Ashley Westwood's on 21. Obviously takes a lot of the corners for Burnley. I know it's Mark Albrighton, since he's coming to the Leicester team, has been taking a lot for Leicester. He's on 19 crosses. John McGinn's been taking more for Aston Villa this season as well. So corners, Albrighton's actually on top with 14. But to mention some who are taking them, Albrighton, Westwood, McGinn, Gallagher. And if you were thinking all those crosses for Rashica's coming from corners, it's not. Only 11 of those crosses for Rashica come from corners, actually. So that's what, 18 open play crosses for Rashica.
Attempted. I mean,
There's a small number of free kicks in there. In fact, no, there's none. There's not any free kicks in there for Rashica, unless that's only including direct shots at goal, which, looking at the Gallagher number, it might be, actually. What else did we have a look through, James? So I also had a look through key passes. Another name we haven't mentioned yet. Well, we have, because he's in my team. Jack Harrison comes out top for key passes with 10, which is surprising because at the moment he's behind a lot of the others on the metrics. But again, let's remember that Leeds have played Manchester United and Liverpool. They've also played an Everton side who, on what we've seen so far, may well, although they do this every year and fall away, may make a push for the top 6. They've had 3 tough games. To compare them with the results last year, they drew at home to Liverpool. They got battered at Manchester United. I believe Harrison scored at Old Trafford, if I remember correctly. No, I don't think he did, actually. It was Dallas that scored from long range. So he didn't return in those games last year. Everton at home, they lost last year. And Burnley last year, they won 4-0 away. Now, Burnley, obviously, that was right at the end of last season. They played them early this season. I think we know that that became a very rough game. Burnley weren't going to let that happen again, right? So Leeds have had a tough run of fixtures. And to kind of move the conversation into fixture planning, Leeds come out top for me on my fixture ticker for next 5 game weeks, next 6 game weeks, and next 8 game weeks. That's in spite of the fact they've got Leicester at home and Tottenham away in the final 2 of the next 8. They still come out on top. Over the next 3, I rank them 4th, just behind Wolves, which will be interesting for Trincão owners potentially. Leicester on Watford. I mean, we're not speaking about Ismaïl Assar because he's not in the value list. And for in the next 4 fixtures, I have Wolves and Norwich ahead of Leeds. But then from next 5, next 6, next 8, Leeds are best. And that's of all 20 teams in the league. So having had blanks all the way through from Harrison, there's obviously no intention for me to move. And the problem with Harrison is he might still be blanking come game week 12 and he might still be in my fucking team, Serge.
There are counter arguments on Jack Harrison as well, which I'm not as strongly minded about, but things to be aware of. Obviously, Dan James has come in. We don't know what impact that's going to have on his position or not. So that's one to consider. And the other thing is, when you're looking at alternatives, the differential between Harrison and Rafinha is 0.6, which I think doesn't justify dropping. And it's a case of if you haven't got enough money, but I would find the way to get Rafinha in for that extra 0.6 because of two things. One, I think he's going to score more points, which is the most important thing. And secondly, the ownership on Rafinha is much higher. Now, I was really surprised that the ownership on Rafinha is only 15%. I really feel like it was going to be 30-35%, but it's not. So the ownership isn't that big a deal. Let's say, like, it's not, he's at 30-35%, at which case I'd be like, you'd be mad to go with Harrison over Rafinha just to cover yourself off. But there is a small differential between the two to be aware of.
It might be the difference in money that people can no longer afford, though.
That's the thing, yeah. That's the thing.
And therefore, I think, look, if you want to enter Leeds and suddenly you're looking, going, oh my God, because I'm going with these premium players, I can't afford a Rafinha now. Harrison does offer a good alternative. I agree. If the money's not a problem and you're buying Rafinha or Harrison, for me, yes, you definitely buy Rafinha. And in the case of certain other players we mentioned in here, the likes of Gallagher, Trincao, obviously the Everton players are in competition with each other. But I think the other ones like Gallagher, Trincao, Trincao and Traore is close enough in price where it's pick your favourite. In Gallagher's case, if you go for a different Palace midfielder, you're going down to bloody James McArthur, right? So it's the obvious one if you want it. But with that in mind, Palace have obviously, the run's still rough, right? I make them sixth worst over the next three fixtures, third worst over the next four fixtures. Then it eases up a little bit for them from the Newcastle fixture in game week 9 and becomes a better run. But actually, all the way, even if I look all the way over the next eight fixtures, I'd still have them around about 13th on my fixture ticker. But it does definitely get better from them from game week 9. Like, if you looked at an 8-week ticker from game week 9, we'd find Palace are probably in the top 7 or 8. And obviously, they have impressed so far this season, but it does come with a caveat. Caveat is they lost at Chelsea opening day. Let's forget that. Plus, Gallagher didn't play. They drew at home to Brentford. We know Gallagher should have scored in that game. He hit the post. He scored twice at West Ham. And obviously, they battered Tottenham at the weekend. A very weak and underperforming Tottenham. That's not to take anything away from what Palace did, but we might be overestimating what we've seen from them at the start of the season, particularly off the back of the freshers in the mind. Oh my God, they beat Tottenham 3-0. Listen, that Tottenham team that played at the weekend would finish bottom six if it played every week. So I don't think we should shouldn't overvalue what we saw at the weekend. And of course, the timing for Gallagher's crap. Not only are the fixtures shit, it's Liverpool away this weekend. You don't really want to be buying a player at that value who's about to go to Liverpool away. But we kind of discussed this on the SkyPod, and it's a little bit different for FPL. Gallagher could get an assist at Anfield. Gallagher could score at Anfield because he's on all the set pieces and stuff. Even if, I think what you'll see at the weekend is he probably won't get into the box as much because they're playing Liverpool away. I mean, it just stands to reason, right? But if they can get set piece opportunities in the game, he's got a chance for an attacking return. It's fairly obvious.
Are you thinking you'll end up with Gallagher in your squad at some point?
I think for me to move to Harrison to Gallagher is just, it's just not an option right now.
Unless you were wild carding.
It's just not an option. And I think it's more the point, I'm planning, and I'm waiting on the team news, but my planned move this week is Ricardo Pereira, who, thank you, Aaron Lagor, even though he didn't start against Napoli last night, I can't take the headache of it. It's going to be a problem. And I know that eventually I'm moving it on anyway. And the problem is, I actually think Leicester will keep a clean sheet this weekend as well. But I'm going to move it. I'm going to move it to a player I don't think is going to keep a clean sheet this weekend. I'm going to go for Arsenal's Kieran Tierney. That's the plan. Now, part of that plan is to come down a little bit in value, make sure that I'm not going to get priced out of Lukaku when I want to go for him. So my plan at the moment is that to roll in game week 6, sell Harvey Barnes in 7. So I keep Barnes for Burnley at home. Sell in game week 7 to a 4.5 million midfielder, and then Danny Ings up to Lukaku. That's the plan. Now, if I go for a 5.5 or a Gallagher or Damari Gray instead of that 4.5 million midfielder, I'm blocked out of the Lukaku move. And remember, this would be taking me up to 2 premiums rather than 3. So I think it's a move that it might be that it comes back around for me with Gallagher once those Palace fixtures ease up from the game week 9 fixture against Newcastle. It's Man City away in 10. You could argue Wolves in 11, but I think I wouldn't worry about the City game. I think, oh, can I attack the Newcastle game? That looks great. I can't see me looking back to it till then. It just doesn't work in my structure at the moment. But I think if I was wildcarding now, for me personally, it would be very close between the three players we mentioned at the start, and honestly, I wouldn't discount Harrison because of that run of fixtures that Leeds have got, and I can see why a lot of people want to go Trincao as well.
I think Gallagher just sticks his hand up, head and shoulders above.
If you were on wildcard, which one would you go for?
Gallagher.
I think that I would go for Gallagher as well. The reason I'd go for Gallagher, I think if I was on wildcard, I'd have Rafinha, a little bit like what you said. And therefore, it wouldn't be Harrison. I'd be looking at it and going, Salah, someone in at Jota or Greenwood's value, Rafinha, then the Gallagher value, then 4.5. That would probably be part of my strategy plan. Or if it's a 5 in midfield, 4.5 forward, whatever. That's what I think I would be doing. And therefore, because I'd go for Rafinha, it wouldn't be Harrison. But I think actually Harrison, Gallagher, I reckon over the next... I actually think over the next 5 game weeks or so, I think Harrison will be the top scoring player in this value.
It's worth coming back to. So at the end of game week 9, we need to have a look and see if Jack Harrison outscores Connor Gallagher. Listeners, jump in on Twitter at Planet FPL Pod where the tweet has got the podcast, and jump in the comments there and let us know who you think will be the highest scoring midfielder in the next 5 game weeks.
And 5. On YouTube, 4, kids, 5. Stick 9. It in the comments.
Indeed,
who you fancy.
We'll figure out a way of collating the answers and seeing if there was anybody that was, in fact, correct when it ends up being someone completely random.
On the statistics as an overall, I think the choice is Gallagher. On the fixtures, if you're going in new, the choice is probably Harrison, if you haven't got Rafinha or can't afford Rafinha. Or the other one to attack the fixtures at this value is Trincao.
Yeah.
Actually. Everton obviously do have a good few fixtures still to go. I mean, like Norwich, West Ham, Watford's their next 3 home games. We've got Villa away this weekend, which is not the worst fixture, particularly for the attacking players as well. I think if I had to go Gray or Doucouré, I would go Gray. The reason I'd go Gray is, yes, he's outperforming the stats. Yes, it's probably unsustainable. I would personally be worried about where Doucouré is going to play and getting it wrong. So I think, for example, I think he possibly plays deeper this week, but possibly plays the more attractive position in the fixture you really want it for Norwich at home. But I could be wrong. And therefore, his returns, as much as you can say, look at Gray statistics and go unsustainable, Doucouré is not going to get an attacking return every week. And I think the real important message of this is you have to remember that it's small data sample, and these players really were all at this price for a certain reason in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Harrison from last season, 160 FPL points last season. Let's not forget that. If you go looking for Gallagher, you won't find him, but then admittedly he was playing at West Brom, so you couldn't judge Gallagher on last season.
No.
But we shouldn't forget what Harrison did last season is absolutely brilliant, right? 160 FPL points. Adama Traore is basically next most in that value, 135. So if I look back on the last 32 game weeks or so, I'm looking at Harrison all day long.
Mm. Yeah, but time changes, football changes, teams change. So we shall see. If you have any questions around these midfielders, you can tune in later on. What time, James, to your live stream, deadline stream? 5 o'clock or something?
5:30 UK p.m. time. UK time, yeah.
Whichever time it is, British summer, standard, whatever time it is. Check it out on YouTube, and you can ask questions around this category there as well if you've had a chance to listen to the pod.
Just one final point as well. When you're picking a player in this value, particularly those that are on the... In fact, it's not even particularly those on the wild card. You're probably picking a player for longer term. And I think those who are worrying about Gallagher in the fixtures but want Gallagher should look beyond the fixtures. And because ideally, if you haven't still got wild card, he's possibly going to sit there for you for a long time.
Yeah, indeed.
So you're looking for consistency at this value.
Yeah. If you want to find out more about Planet FPL on Patreon, head over to patreon.com/planetfpl. Today we'll be doing our team reveals, predictions and all sorts in the differential show. So you can find out more about our teams there. Other than that, deadline day. So get your team sorted, get your captain set and all the rest of that jazz. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Be nice to each other. Good luck this game week. Cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.